not new. Welcome back. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 37 today. Genesis 37 and 28. Genesis 37 and 28 in that order. And we've started a series last week called Dreams and Visions. And it was out of a devotional reading that I was reading one morning, and God just began to speak to me through. It was Acts chapter 2, and reading about how he'd pour out his spirit on all flesh in Acts chapter 2. And verse 17 talks about how that our sons and daughters would prophesy. And old men would dream dreams, and young men would see visions. And so this kind of flows out of that devotion that I was going through. And so I've got two questions that I wrote this morning. And first one I want to ask you is this, is what is the last truly great dream that you had? Anybody? Well, do you remember the last truly great? Do you remember the dream you had last night? Okay, no. Hardly any of us. And that's okay. That actually, the statistics play that out and say that only about we only remember about 1% of our dreams. And so that's not unusual that you don't remember your dream. But do you remember a dream, maybe a dream that you had that was truly, truly great? Now, I know sometimes we can remember nightmares. How many of you remember a nightmare, right? Maybe there's nightmares that you have frequently. Maybe it's the same one over and over and over, right? That, I do a lot of public speaking, obviously, and so sometimes I have these dreams where I'm not prepared. I don't have my notes. I can't get to the venue that I'm supposed to be at, no matter how I am. There was one time I dreamed I was on like a different hallway, and it was like these multi-level church, and I don't know exactly where it was at, but I could not get to the sanctuary, to the pulpit, to deliver the message. And so those are sometimes the dreams that I have, and I do remember those. But I remember one dream in particular that I had. My dad passed away in 2013. And probably a couple years later, I remember I dreamed that I was out kind of walking, and this man was in front of me, and I didn't know who it was, just kind of saw the silhouette. I was behind him, and as he turned, I realized it was my dad. And so we didn't say anything. I didn't say anything to him. He didn't say anything to me. All he did was he came up, and he gave me a big hug, and just I remember that. Anybody, you ever had like a dream that vivid that you remember that? You remember the feeling that you had in that dream? I remember that feeling that I had in that dream, that it was such just kind of a hug that he was giving me, that, you know, it was almost like God was saying, hey, I know you've lost your dad, but you haven't lost his love in that sense. And so I just kind of got a chance to kind of experience that all over again in that moment. I just woke up sobbing, right? But I wasn't sad. I was actually, it was joy in a sense that I had experienced in that moment. So have you ever had a dream that you remember like that, right? That it just sticks with you. And sometimes there are dreams that we have that are significant, right? They kind of mean a little bit more than others. And, you know, sometimes we have dreams that really are meant to stick with you. And that's a dream that has stuck with me all these years later. There are dreams that are meant to stick with you. And then there are dreams that are meant to outlive you. And I believe that. I believe that God gives us dreams that he wants to outlive us. And so I just kind of want to talk to you about a little bit this morning. That brings me to my second question, which is this question. How many of your hopes and dreams end with you? How many of your hopes and dreams end with you at the center of it? You are the center of your hope and dream, right? How many hopes and dreams do you have that center on you or end with you? I wrote that question down last night, or I was typing that out into my computer, and as soon as I got that done, a text came in, and it was from Raina. And it was her Amazon wish list. And I thought, well, that's appropriate, right? Because I had just got, you know, how many of our hopes and dreams? This is my hopes and dreams, right? And she, to be fair, this was Amazon wish list that was being sent to the entire family. We're all kind of sharing those right now. Her mom's asking, and so she sent that to me. Apparently, the boys made one, and they sent our uncle. I didn't get theirs. I only got Raina's. So, and I don't know what's going on there. But how many of your hopes and dreams end with you? Now, it's not wrong to want something for yourself, right? That's not wrong at all. It is wrong to only want something for yourself. I think that's kind of where we start having to answer the question, do my dreams consist of? Do my dreams consist of only my personal gain? Do my dreams only consist of my personal success? What do your dreams consist of? Do your dreams consist of just you getting the glory and you getting the win? And, you know, sometimes that's the dreams that we have. You know, I've had those dreams where I threw a winning touchdown and I was horrible at football, right? You know, so you knew it was definitely a dream. So sometimes we have these dreams that they center on us. And if my dreams are only about my personal success, my dreams are too small. If my dreams are only about my personal gain, my dreams are too small. And I like what John Maxwell, I've been reading a lot of John Maxwell, he's a leadership teacher and was a former pastor, and this is what he said in one of his books. He said, a dream that's only about you will only take you so far. A dream that includes others will take you farther than you could ever imagine. And I love that. I said, that's the truth. That if my dreams are only about me, they're small and they're not big enough. And I believe that God wants us to dream bigger dreams. I believe that God wants us to have a bigger dream for our family, bigger dream for our church. And he wants us to have a better vision for what the future could be. John Maxwell goes on and he says in his books, and he lists numerous sayings of what small dreams are like and small dreamers are like, but I want to give you three that really kind of stood out to me, and this is what he said about small dreams. Small dreams keep us self-focused. When we dream small dreams, we just focus on self. We turn inward, and when our dreams fail to include anybody else, basically we're just going to always turn inward. So small dreams are self-focused. Small dreams don't grow your character. When you have big dreams, they grow you. You have to grow to match the dream, right? But see, small dreams, when we dream small things and we are small dreamers, it doesn't grow our character. And that's for every one of us. That's why we exist here at New Life. We exist to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And so if we're going to be growing, our dreams need to be growing as well. They need to get bigger. And so small dreams keep us focused on self. Small dreams don't grow our character. And the last thing that stood out to me was this, that small dreams lack a lasting impact. Small dreams have little staying power, and they rarely influence future generations or leave a legacy, right? And so your dreams that you dream right now, how long before they kind of fade out, right? Do they end with you? Or do you have a bigger dream than that? See, I think God wants us to have a bigger dream than that. I think God intends for us to dream bigger dreams than that. And the reason I say that is because of the scriptures that we read. I want you to consider this. If God is the source of our dreams, then we know they're meant to glorify Him and not us. If God is the source of our dreams, then He means for those dreams to glorify Him and not to lift us up. And so if we're taking that into consideration, I want us to look back at some scripture that we saw last week. And that's where we went to Genesis chapter 37. And if you remember Genesis chapter 37, we were reading this story of a young man. His name was Joseph. And anybody remember how old Joseph was when he had his dreams? 17 years old. 17 years old is a great age, right? I kind of remember 17. 17 is a great age. A lot of youthfulness, a lot of youthful enthusiasm. And there's a lot of immaturity that goes along with 17. And I think that we kind of see some of that here in this passage of Scripture in Genesis 37, because he's having these dreams and he's telling them to his brothers. Now, there's a little bit of Jewish tradition that says the way that he told them to his brothers was a little bit braggadocious, that he was telling them with, hey, I had this dream, guys. This is an amazing dream. Check this out. You guys are going to be serving me, right? It's like, that doesn't always come across well, does it, right? And so he tells his brothers this dream, and they hate him for it. And he has another dream, and he tells it to his brothers again. And we pick up here in verse 11 of chapter 37, and this is what it says, "And his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the saying in mind." And I went and I just kind of looked up this passage. In the original language, it's really believed that Jacob continued to think about these dreams, that they stuck with him, and the way that it's, the translators would say that he thought about this over and over and over. And that made me think about Mary, the mother of Jesus, the things that she saw in Jesus' life. And there's a passage in the Gospels where it says that Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And I think about that. I think about that as a parent, that there are things that we watch, and sometimes we see our kids, and maybe if you're a grandparent, you see your grandkids, and you kind of hold on to these things, and you just kind of think about them, and you let them kind of ruminate in your mind. And I believe that's what's going on here with Jacob, that Jacob is kind of thinking about this dream, and he's thinking about it over and over and over again. But why? Why is he kind of stuck on this? Because Joseph is not the only dreamer in the family. If you look back at Jacob's story, Jacob had his own dreams. Jacob's dreams and Joseph's dreams begin to coincide. And in Genesis chapter 28, and if we can go ahead and turn over there, Genesis chapter 28, we look at the story of Jacob where he's a young man. This is really kind of before he starts his family. And we pick up in Genesis chapter 28, beginning in verse 10. "And Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran." Now, this is some of the same stomping grounds that his granddad Abraham had been through, right? So he's kind of almost retracing some of the steps. "And Jacob left Beersheba and went to Haran, and he came to a certain place and stayed there that night. And because the sun had set, taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep." This verse always stands out to me because I thought, why did he pick a rock for his pillow, right? That might be why he's having crazy dreams. Verse 12, "And he dreamed and beheld, and behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven." Now, I've always thought, when I heard this, I'm thinking, looking, I picture this ladder like, almost like an extension ladder, or maybe like a ladder that you would see on a ladder truck for a fire truck, right? Some of these big ladders. But that's not really the picture that he got. The picture that he would have got would look more like something like this. And this is a ziggurat, and basically a temple in Ur. And this would have been kind of what they imagined as a ladder. It was basically a staircase that went up. And on top of these ziggurats was a temple where they worshiped the gods, right? And so that's kind of where they thought the gods lived. And so God is using this this local thought to show Jacob something. And he said that he saw this ladder and the top of it reached the heaven. "And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. And the land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your offspring. And your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth. And you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. You and your offspring shall, in you, all you and your offspring and all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Now, who's going to be blessed, right? Who's going to be blessed? I think God is showing him something here. And when we have dreams and visions, I think one thing we have to notice about dreams and visions that we see in Scripture particularly is that they incorporate other people, right? So if you go back and you look at the verse in Acts chapter 2, verse 17, where he says, "Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions." Who do we have in that one sentence and that one verse is sons and daughters, right? It's more than just for people being filled with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes that's what we think of. We think of the Holy Spirit as an individual thing, right? But I think we have to broaden that. We have to broaden that scope and broaden that thought process and begin to think about that the Holy Spirit is not just to empower me. The Holy Spirit is to do something amongst us as people, as families. And I love that thought. And I think that's exactly what we see here in Genesis 28, that Jacob, God is telling Jacob, he's reminding him one thing. He said, I am the God of who? Your father who? Abraham. I am the God of your father, Isaac, right? I am their God. And so he's already making a familial connection here with this promise that he's given, this blessing that has been given. Because what did God do to Abraham in Genesis? I think it was Genesis chapter 12, if you go back and look at it. God says, I am going to bless you, and you are going to do what? Be a blessing, right? And so this dream and this blessing is not just for you. It doesn't end with you, because if your dream and your blessing ends with you at the center or at the end of it, it's too small. It's not a God dream. I think God dreams are bigger than that. I think God dreams, when God gives them to us, that God gives them to us because he wants us to broaden our scope and broaden our circle and broaden our horizon. And he said, hey, I want your vision to get bigger. I want your dream to get bigger. And so our dreams, if they only incorporate us, if they only end with us or center on us, they're too small. And so Jacob, he's dreaming his dreams. And now, and when you skip forward in his life, and he's seeing Joseph dreaming these dreams, and I got to think that he's remembering his own dream. He's remembering and he's starting to see, God, what are you saying? You're saying, you're reminding me that this blessing is not just for me. It's not just for my family. It's for who? All the families of the earth. All the families of the earth are going to be blessed in how you dream, Jacob. All the families of the earth are going to be blessed in how your family dreams dreams. And so we see this begin to play out, not only in Jacob's life, but we see it play out in Joseph's life. And we see this in Acts chapter 2, where God is pouring out his spirit fresh and new. And when I was 17, my life was really kind of, I only saw certain things. I was kind of single focused, right? At 17 years old, how many of you guys were kind of selfish? You know, not that you were a bad person, right? But you were a little more self-focused. You liked yourself, right? You got any 17-year-olds down here? I know there's one. There's one. He's related to me, right? And so how many of you guys like yourself? You like yourself. You like your stuff, right? And that's part of the process. But I think when we look at dreams and visions, that God is saying, hey, I want you to expand that. I want you to broaden that. And so now that I'm older, and I ask that question, you know, God, what dreams am I dreaming? If I'm dreaming something, what does that mean? Is that just for me? That's not for me anymore. That includes my wife, Raina. That when I dream a dream, I want a big dream for me and my marriage. I want a big dream for me and my family. It includes my two boys. It includes my home. It includes, you know what? It includes you. When I dream a dream, I want my dream to be bigger than me, bigger than my marriage, bigger than just my immediate family. I want it to be bigger than my home. I want it to be a dream that we include you as the church. That when I think, God, where do you want us to be this time next year? God, what do you want this to look like? God, let's dream a big dream. God, what do you want this to look like 5 years, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 50 years from now, right? 50 years from now, I'm probably dead and gone, right? Unless I'm going to hit that 120 stage. I don't know. I'm feeling pretty good. But, you know, if I'm dead and gone, it's okay, because I want to dream a dream that's bigger than me. It's bigger than my family. It's bigger than my church. And it's bigger than my life. I want it to outlive me. That's, I believe, what God is really trying to get us to do, is to broaden our dreams, to invite him in to those dreams and allow those dreams to get bigger. And this is what I believe, too. I believe it not only includes my family, my wife, my kids, my family, and you. I believe it includes people that we haven't met yet. That's what I believe. I believe that as we dream a big dream, that there are people that we haven't met yet that we're dreaming for, right? Think about that. How does that change things? How does that change things for you? That there are people that you haven't met yet. You know what? God, give me a bigger dream for the people that I haven't even met yet. God, give me a bigger dream for the people that I haven't even come in contact with yet, God. And I think this next year, what's it going to look like? I have no clue. There's a lot of uncertainty in what that looks like for me as your pastor in this next year. But there's a lot of clarity in who we are. I have great clarity in who we are. You know what? We're going to double down on that. Who are we? We are a church that exists to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Do I know exactly who that's going to be this coming year? I don't, but I have great clarity about who we are right now, and we're going to trust God. So God, help us dream a bigger dream. Help us dream a bigger dream, even for the people that we haven't met yet. Can you pray that prayer for your own life, for your own family? God, help me dream a bigger dream for my family. Help me dream a bigger dream for the people that you haven't even brought into my life yet. God, prepare me for that moment. Prepare me for that time. Prepare me for that conversation. Prepare me for that divine appointment that I'm going to have at some point. What is that going to look like? I need to be able to be prepared to dream that big dream. I'm going to ask somebody to come play. See, this is what I believe. God-sized dreams leave us reaching for more, right? God-sized dreams leave us reaching for more. And I'm not the tallest guy in the world, all right? My wife's a little shorter than me, and I like that. I think great things come in small packages, okay? And so, but there are times that she looks at me and she says, "Hey, I can't get this. Can you reach up there and get it for me?" And you know what? That's why we're there together. I'm there. You know what? She's there to reach the low stuff that I can't get to, okay? All right? And I'm there to get the higher stuff that she can't get to. And I'll pull something down. I'll hand it to her. You know what? And I'm glad to do that. And then I'm feeling really good about myself. But then I come to work, and there's things that I can't reach here. And then I have to look at Pastor Trent, and I have to look at Taylor, and I say, "Hey, can y'all get that?" And it makes me feel smaller, right? But we all need each other. We need each other because there are going to be things that God wants us to reach for that, you know what, I may not be able to reach on my own. He wants me to get hold of it, but he wants me to get hold of it with someone else. And I love that thought. I love the thought that God, when I reach for my dreams and I reach for the stars, that you are the God that already knew that, and you're placing people around us to help us reach farther and go beyond. So when God gives you a dream bigger than you, the benefit is also bigger than you. When God gives you a dream that is bigger than you, the benefit is also bigger than you. It's going to benefit somebody else. That dream is going to be bigger, and it's going to overflow into somebody else's life. I want you to stand with me. A God-given dream blesses more than the dream. God-given dream blesses more than the dream.
One.
So, where
two.
Are you at? What are the dreams that God has
one,
given?
Two.
What are those things
three.
That you see
four.
Yourself?